Passengers, may I have your attention, please? Take your seats and secure your seatbelt. The ride you're about to take will be unlike anything you've ever experienced before. They are the Mics on Mics, and this is Drive-By.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome. I am Mike J. He is Mike S. We are the Mics on Mics, and welcome to the best wrestling podcast you haven't heard of until right now. How's it going, Mike?
Man, I got today off. It's going good. We don't have to rush to get this wrapped up by 2 o'clock so I can head out the door to work. We never get it done by 2 o'clock. We always get it done by 2:15, and I'm randomly showing up at work like right when I'm like the last possible minute I can. I'm always texting my like co-manager like, hey, man, podcast today. We're running late. He's like, yeah, bro, it's Friday. I know.
Hey, as long as they can adjust to us, that's all good. That's all that matters, right?
Yep.
So we're coming off a big week. WrestleMania. NXT Stand and Deliver, which we touched on last week. I think we covered very thoroughly. Something I do want to touch and mention before we move on, we had massive turnout for WrestleMania Pick'ems. We had a very solid turnout for NXT Pick'ems. Unfortunately, not everybody wanted to participate, apparently, in the promo victory lap, we'll call it. I know it's probably because they were all just a little bit afraid of taking on my other half, because she did kick ass on the last promo. So let's see. Night one of Stand and Deliver. Winner goes to Jeremy Weatherholtz.
When you said take on my other half, I thought you were talking about me at first.
Well.
This is very funny. Yeah. It's very funny to me that that's where I first went with that. I was like, oh, yeah, his wife, obviously.
we all have the same kind of relationship.
Obviously,
right?
He met his wife.
Night two of NXT.
My feelings aren't hurt.
They shouldn't be. Night two of NXT, Stand and Deliver went to, this is the greatest last name ever, Russell Slutz.
Oh, dude, I like that guy, man. He's got decent opinions on things.
Yep.
Even when I don't agree.
He was going to turn one in. I don't know if he got sidetracked or what, but it is what it is. If he gets to me, I'll play it next week.
Slutz with a Z.
Now, WrestleMania, we had the best turnout we've ever had for these pick'ems. Over 60 people participating. It was a lot to keep track of. But winner for night one, let me brutally mispronounce this name. Shaheem Jazz Jackson was a winner for night one, and winner for night two was Blake M. Now, there's three possibilities there that it could have been. I'm going to stress this more as we go along. If you want contacted for a possible promo or a shout-out, you have to put your full Facebook name on there, because otherwise it's just a guessing game. And then random people getting random messages from me about, hey, did you do this?
Hey, man, was this you?
Because when there's like four Blake M's, it's it makes it a little difficult.
Blake M, you are a one-time champion now. So I'm going to expect better out of you as a champion.
So no promos. Less editing for me. But let's roll into it, man. WrestleMania. Night one, I think, personally, better than night two. What do you got?
Yeah. I don't even think it's a question.
It was weird because when I did my picks, to be frank, I used the whole mantra that WWE generally uses, send the folks home happy, And night two was the night of all the heels winning, except for Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was a lone babyface that got the victory. And literally every other match was technically a heel victory. Now, granted, you might look at Rhea Ripley and say, well, this was a huge win. And it was, but she was the bad guy. You know, Randy Orton, even though the Fiend is maybe a demonic character, like, Randy Orton set that MF-er on fire. He's the bad guy, right?
Oh, yeah, Randy Orton's clearly the heel.
The heel won. So we got Kevin Owens, the lone baby face, winning on night two. And night one was kind of the feel-good night, I guess. And then we cap night one off with what many are calling a historic night when two black women got to main event WrestleMania and put on a hell of a match, hell of a show. Probably my match of the night, and Bianca Belair is our new SmackDown Women's Champion. Quite honestly, I can't wait to see SmackDown later on tonight. And the announcement that the new commentator for SmackDown, teaming with Michael Cole, is none other than Pat McAfee himself.
Oh, really?
Yes. Are you not in the loop on this one, Mike? This is breaking as of probably an hour and a half before we recorded here.
No, man, I got, like, stuff to do today.
Yeah, so Pat McAfee is officially joining the SmackDown commentary team. Seems like it's going to be a two-man booth. Michael Cole, Pat McAfee. Along with the addition to the Raw commentary team, I feel like they're going for some sports guys here, Mike. And it was a little different on Raw, but I really like where it was going. It's going to take some getting used to, but I can't pronounce the guy's name or even remember it off the top of my head, but he's from Major League Baseball. You could tell there was a sports feel to it, and I really like this, and I hope that this works out on both sides for them.
Well, they've needed a sports feel in their commentary for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pat McAfee, man, he's definitely a shit talker. He definitely loves and follows pro wrestling, so I think it's a solid addition. I don't know if this leads to more in-ring from him. I hope that it does, because he impressed me.
So Adam Cole's definitely going to SmackDown now, huh?
Well, on Pat McAfee's announcement, which he had this video package put together, this hashtag, Pat's up to something, was trending. And I guess it's been something he's been playing a long game on his podcast. And at the very end of the video, he even got Vince McMahon to participate in a video of Vince and Michael Cole and Adam Pearce at Gorilla saying, Pat McAfee, welcome to the team. It was really neat. Yeah, man, this is a long time coming. And in a tweet, he finished it with Bay Bay. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
But yeah, man, so they're saying right now that WrestleMania is going to be one night in Dallas. I really like the two-night feel. How do you feel about that?
Look, while I find the two nights to be more easily digestible, I would prefer we go back to one-day event.
I'm absolutely in the other camp. It's way more digestible, you're right. I do understand the train of thought of let's get it all in and get it done. But my whole thinking is, if we get two nights of 3.5 hours with better, longer quality matches than one night of 7 hours and 15 matches crammed in, I'm sign me up for two nights, man. I don't know. They could change it. We were told it was going to be one night this year, and then it wasn't. At least that's what journalists were told before. So we will see. I think you get better quality matches with them separated, and shorter shows, but less matches, but the total combined. We had, 14 matches, I think, because each night was 7, correct?
I have no clue.
So we had 14 matches overall over two nights. I just think that's way more digestible than one night and probably 12 or 13 crammed in there.
I agree,
we'll see.
But I don't like that it takes up two of my days. And I also like the idea of just like, all right, we got this one fucking event today. Like, here we go.
Like, yeah, we'll have to see where it lands. Oh, so, Mike,
I like the idea of, well, honey, I'm gonna be upstairs for the next 7 hours. It's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I totally get it. Let's see. So, big takeaways from WrestleMania. Is there anything else? I know there's a lot of debate that Bray Wyatt's buried, that the Fiend's dead, the Fiend's buried. Where, Mike, I look at it like this.
They're clearly telling a story.
It's a story, yeah.
They started telling the next chapter, literally, right after he lost.
Yep. I mean, we get a promo from Alexa Bliss on Raw, an Alexa's Playground. She basically says, I found out with this darkness that maybe I don't need him to lead me anymore. And Bray does a Firefly Funhouse, basically saying that all the friends in the funhouse didn't like her anyway, and that he's not gone. Now he's got to confront a new enemy. Bliss reveals that she's got a new friend in this creepy-ass doll. I love it, man. I think that people need to understand Bray Wyatt's a storyteller, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're telling stories in pro wrestling, wins and losses don't necessarily mean what you think they mean, right?
Exactly.
Like, this loss means more because we're furthering the story with him and Alexa.
Y'all know The Undertaker lost to King Mabel, right? King right. Fucking Mabel.
For a story.
And we're on here like, oh my god, The Fiend lost to a 14-time heavyweight champion of the world, guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay.
He'll be a multiple Hall of Famer, multiple-time Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, you know, okay, all right, let's calm it the fuck down here.
Yeah, losing to Randy Orton is never a burial.
Oh, no.
Also, let's be real, Bray doesn't have a super solid track record against Randy Orton at WrestleMania,
nope.
Right? Also, this lets them revisit this if they ever want to. They don't need to. But they can.
These cats can be fighting Mania every other year now.
Right. And we're telling stories, guys. This is not a burial of The Fiend. This is not a burial of Bray Wyatt. We're literally telling stories. We're moving forward. We're creating more avenues for possibly more characters to be introduced if we want to. I'm all about it. I enjoyed. He had the entrance of the weekend, in my opinion. And that the loss here doesn't take away because, again, we're telling stories. It's probably the most hated part of the weekend, and I actually, well, don't get me wrong, I was confused at first. By Monday and seeing everything that they're doing, I'm totally fine with it.
I was confused when he took the pin initially.
Right.
But then once I saw Alexa Bliss with the black makeup on, like, you know what I'm talking about in the contacts, after he right. lost, I was like, oh, something's happening here, okay, they're telling a story, alright. I mean,
yep,
like,
absolutely.
I was super okay with it once she popped up like that. They're doing things right now, man, like, with him that are out of the norm, and I don't think regular wrestling booking rules apply.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. Let's stick with night two U.S. Championship switches from Riddle to Sheamus. I think Sheamus, I've grown an affection for Sheamus. He was never one of my favorites. I still wouldn't call him a favorite. But this dude is willing to go out and just not only beat the shit out of other people, but get the shit beat out of him. I appreciate that. I think this is a, I don't want to call it a reset. I think this is a course correct. I think Riddle had that title because Keith Lee was out with illness. And I think we're going to get Keith Lee versus Sheamus. And I think Keith Lee eventually takes this title off of him. I could be wrong, but I'm putting that out there right now.
I mean, he'd be a nice guy for Lee to beat for a title.
Yep, and they were already building the story. The women's tag championships
are unnecessary. Just get rid of these belts. Just fucking get rid of these belts.
Well, we'll touch on that here in a little bit with some further news that came out. But, man, I'm just, Nia Jax has changed a channel heat with me. I know she's part of a royal family in wrestling. I just want Shayna Baszler to turn on her and destroy her and get her off my TV. I got nothing else there. How about Apollo Crews becoming Intercontinental Champion? We've had a gimmick change with him. I know people question it. I really like it. Apollo was always just a guy who could really wrestle but had no character. And now he has character. And call it what you want. Is it a little bizarre? A little swerve? Yeah, sure. But man, it's working for me. He's got an edge. He's got an attitude. He's
Look,
got...
man. He is in stage two of WWE black wrestler stages. I'm going to explain these stages to you guys, okay?
I can't wait.
Stage one, and sometimes stage one and stage two can be reversed, okay? Not just sometimes, frequently, right? Stage one and stage two are interchangeable. It just depends upon which the path you go, right? So,
right.
Starting with Apollo, though, we'll go. Stage one, black guy who smiles real big. Okay? That's stage one. We tried that with Apollo, right? He'd been smiling real big for like 3 fucking years. Okay?
Right.
Stage two, angry militant black man. Right? Again,
right.
Stage one and stage two can be reversed. Ahmed Johnson started off as smiling black guy. Became militant black guy. Farouk, Ron Simmons, whatever you want to call him, WWE, started off militant black guy, ended up jokey smiling black guy, right? Okay?
Right.
Booker T started in WCW, didn't ever have to go through that. Booker T started, came in to WWE in what I like to call stage three. Oh shit, this guy got over. And now we can kind of let him be his own character. That's where your Big E's are at. Xavier yep. Woods, Kofi's.
Yep.
Kofi, interestingly enough, never had to go through a stage two militant. Oh, I guess he did. Fuck. Start of the New Day. They were angry black men. So Kofi did, in fact, have to go through that. To get to Kofi may be the best example. So this is the life cycle of a black man in WWE. So Apollo now has made it to stage two. This is generally where they throw a mid-card championship on you. Actually, stage one and two, they throw mid-card championships on you. It doesn't matter. Stage three is the one where you're like, God damn it, let me get the big belt. Thus far, Kofi... And again, like Booker, if you want to say that he got the big belt, I personally think he did. It later became not the big belt. So, Apollo Crews, now currently in stage two of the black male wrestler cycle, is even kind of like plays into the black females too. We're just going to call it the WWE black wrestler cycle.
I think we can even throw Bobby Lashley in there, can't we?
Oh, dude, Lashley? Fuck yeah, we can! He started off...
And he's got the big belt.
He just did it at different times, right? 10 years ago, he was smiling black guy, came back to angry black guy, now has the big belt. Yes, we can totally include Bobby in that. I can't believe I forgot that. He's our current champion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you just have to go through the phases. Although Bobby never really got to a phase three of... being like your own character, or is he his own character? Is the Hurt Business his own character? Is that who he always should have transitioned into being? Probably so.
I think now we're there with him. I think he combined a couple steps, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Or he just took step. Like I don't know. But whatever. Anyway, so that's like Jenner. He might be the outlier. Who knows? You know, because he left and came back a pretty big star. Like he almost did like a half and half. He did like the black guy who smiles real big, left for 10 years, came back on the Booker T model, was an already established star. So maybe that worked out that way better for him. But that's what they do with black wrestlers, and I don't understand it, but it's one or the other. So congratulations to new United States champion Apollo Crews. Apparently your transition into phase two is paying off swimmingly.
Yeah, it's working very well for me. Let's wrap up the Mania talk with the WWE two things. WWE championship.
The Mania talk or the Night One talk?
The Mania talk, period. But let's wrap up with this. I got two points I want to get your opinion on. This triple threat was fantastic. Roman Reigns, Edge, Daniel Bryan. It had everything you'd want from a main event. And then the pinfall, man. A double cover. Roman basically throwing it in a face that he is the man, the head of the table. I loved this finish. I know... I picked Edge because, again, I'm thinking send the fans home happy, right? I thought he was going to pin Daniel Bryan. Now we're getting some tweets about the controversy of the cover. I don't think there's any controversy, man. Both guys were on their back. I think this is going to blow up.
Both their guys' shoulders were on the mat.
Right. Even you can't even say Edge was pinning Bryan because Edge was on his back. This was fantastic. I picked Edge because of the go home happy, but let's be real. There's no reason to take this belt off of Roman anytime soon, right?
None. Here's what I think happened. I think they were like, Edge beating Roman will be the feel good story. And then they got into the moment of it and they were like, this is the best story we've told in like 7 years. Easily.
Right. And this character is fantastic, and we cannot do this.
No. And hey, man, I was not a Roman Reigns guy. And, like, really, I wasn't a hater, you know? But.
Right.
This is pretty fucking impressive. Like, this,
yeah,
like,
I'm all.
Like, this character.
I'm with you, and I'm all about this version of Roman Reigns. It's fantastic. I want to wrap up with this. Maybe in my opinion, one of the shocks of the weekend, the opening match of the whole weekend, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. I thought for sure we were going to give Drew the pop he never got to receive last year when he won the title. But to be fair, Bobby Lashley is doing great with this title. He's causing people to watch Raw into later hours of the show, if you follow that kind of stuff. And they kept it on Bobby. Now we're getting a rematch at WrestleMania Backlash. And maybe... I don't think we do it there. I think we set something else up. Because, again, you're not going to give this title back to Drew with no one in attendance, right?
Well, I mean... Maybe they just don't want Drew to have this title back, you know?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm sure that he'll have it again. Maybe he's going to take the Universal title off of Roman. I'm sure we're going to do a shakeup or a draft here at some point in time in this year. So yeah, that's always on the table.
I just mean right now, yeah. Like that's
like
all I meant.
If I'm being selfish as a wrestling fan, what I'd love to see at this next show at Backlash is the return of the one and only Brock Lesnar, and then we build to Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. When we're gonna just take a stab and say SummerSlam will be an outdoor event. We'll have a crowd again. I bet you we get crowds for the Big Four if we don't go back to crowds at everything, right?
Yeah, the Big Four for sure, probably. That's probably a pretty solid guess.
So I think if we're going to do that, even if it's just for SummerSlam and then we return to crowds, like fully, whatever, I don't know what their plan is. I know they're planning to start touring again, but nothing's been set in stone. Then give me Brock and Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam with a crowd. It's worth the money. Bobby's wanted this match forever. I think the fans want this match. If that means Brock takes an L and we keep this on Bobby for someone else to get it off of him, that's fine. It's a great victory for Bobby. If we want to do a Brock Lesnar experiment, it's been a while. I'll take it. I enjoy Brock. Even though the title's not on TV all the time, I still enjoy Brock as an attraction. And I don't think he needs a title, but I'm not as opposed to it as some fans are either. So either way, if we get this match, I don't even care the outcome. Just get this match, man. I think it's a money match for SummerSlam.
It would be an amazing match for SummerSlam. It's a dream match to a lot of people, man. It's just, I mean, not for me personally. Not like that I'm disinterested in this match. I would love to see this match. I just don't, it's not what I would call a dream match. But I know for some people, it is a dream match. So like right on.
Yeah, 100%. Mike, let's take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit about NXT, maybe AEW. Not like we usually do, but a couple things we definitely want to touch on. Hang tight. We will be right back.
All right, Lord Ketchum, what's your favorite line from a Star Wars movie?
Man, why you gotta put me on the spot like that, man?
No, come on. Tell me a line from your favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Quick. It doesn't matter what your favorite line from a Star Wars movie is.
It is. It does.
It isn't.
Guys, pull over. Well, hey there. We were so busy arguing that we almost passed right by you.
Hey, you like movies, don't you?
No, wait. You love movies, right? Why don't you join me, the Lord Ketchum?
And me, Dave King of the Road.
And me, the Mayor Matt Logson, every other Tuesday.
Typically every other Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, so join us typically every other Tuesday on Nostalgia Highway, the movies you know from the guys you don't, the No Frills Movie Review Podcast.
We bring our own unique and in-depth analysis of your and our favorite movies from yesteryear.
We may argue.
We will f***ing cuss.
We absolutely will spoil key scene reveals and plot points.
Because we only review movies that are 15 years or older.
Typically, we review movies that are 15 years or older.
Yeah, typically. Hey, who's making the rules anyway?
We better get a move on, fellas. I'm sure there's other hitchhikers that are wandering along the highway waiting for us.
You're right. You can catch Nostalgia Highway typically every other Tuesday.
On Apple and Google Podcasts.
As well as Spotify, Breaker, and where all the other popular podcasts are.
But you can also find us on Facebook at Nostalgia Highway Podcast, and our Twitter handle is at HighwayNHP. We'll pick you up next time out on the highway.
Now back to the two sexiest bald men talking wrestling on the interwebs. This is Drive-By.
All right, Mike. NXT got to roll in, hopefully with some momentum, on their new night, Tuesday nights. I don't know I don't have the numbers in front of me. Let me see if I can find them real quick. AEW benefited from being on their own, as did NXT. NXT probably didn't benefit as much, but you got to remember NXT is available, I think, immediately on Peacock. I don't know if they stream live on Peacock yet or not at the same time. Let's see. It was 800,000. I can't find the exact numbers here. Okay, NXT, 805,000. on Tuesday on their own. I will say, I love WWE. I'm a mark for them. I love NXT more than anything in WWE. I had to rewatch this because I was falling asleep. It's a lot. That was 7 days in a row, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, no, not really, because I didn't watch 7 days of wrestling in a row like you
did. I did. It was 7 days in a row. It was a lot. I had to actually fell asleep during the Cruiserweight title match, which we'll talk about briefly. But, yeah, they got a bump, probably about 150,000. So we'll see if they can continue the build on that. And then AEW, while I got the numbers right here in front of me, did 102 million unopposed. That's fantastic, man. That's good.
They did 1.2 million, bro, not 102 million.
That's, okay, I'm sorry. That's, yep,
that's a
right.
That's a large fucking audience, man.
1.2 million. Yep. There, I got it right in front of me. You're good.
102
Thank you for
million.
The correction.
Oh, the entire city of Chicago watched.
But yeah, that's fantastic, man. I'm impressed with both of them improving. That's what you want to see. This proves that they were kind of just eating at the fan base, right? Like they were. I mean, it can go into the. How do I want to phrase this? It can definitely go into the conversation that, yes, it was counter-programming. I still stand firm. NXT was on Wednesday before AEW was ever announced. That was their night. I know that it was taped, and that's when they uploaded it to the network before they got the TV deal. But that was their spot. They held fast. They didn't move. AEW handedly beat them most of the time. I can admit that. But that being said, man, hopefully both of these brands... one a brand, one a company can grow, and we can see that, you know, rising tide bringing up all ships, right?
Chicago only has 2.71 million people in it, man. Lagos is the only city in the world with 100 million people in it, so my shit was way off. So, apparently the entire city of Lagos tuned in, according to you. But, in regards to your question, yeah, right.
And a slight change, maybe a shocking change for some people, but we talked about this after Stand and Deliver with what are we doing with Kushida? Santos Escobar issued an open challenge on NXT. And it was answered by Kushida, and we now have a new NXT Cruiserweight Champion in Kushida. We also got mentions of the IWGP Championship, light heavyweight or whatever it's called. You can correct me there, Mike.
It's the light heavyweight. You're right. Junior. Okay. Junior heavyweight, actually. Not light, bad.
There we go.
It's the Junior Heavyweight Championship.
We got mention of Kushida's victories for that championship on NXT, which I loved. And now we credit him with his first NXT Cruiserweight Championship in NXT. A lot of people were questioning why build Escobar and then just take the title off. But, I mean, we get Jordan Devlin still laying claim to this, saying he proved he can climb a ladder better than me. That proves nothing. I'm going back to the UK, but I'm not forgetting about this title. So we got stuff in the works. I love it. I'm happy for Kushida. He's been putting in a lot of hard work, and I feel like he's finally getting recognized. I also would not hate... I got to be careful where I tread, because sometimes on the main roster, these kind of guys seem to get forgotten. But... if we wanted to pull a strong faction up, maybe throw Angel Garza in there as well and give him something to do, that wouldn't be bad for Elgato Del Fantasma, right?
No, huh? I hope everyone learned a lesson here. And that is that you can't be issuing open challenges for cruiserweight, juniors, lights, if Kushida is on the fucking roster. Okay? Has everyone learned their lesson? Kushida is on the roster. You just don't open. That'd be like if you were WCW Cruiserweight Champion in like 1997
and Rey Mysterio was there, and it's like, and you're like fucking El Dandy or something, Silver King, who is neither silver nor a king, by the way, and you were just like, or not even one of those. Let's talk like a respectable one, but like who wasn't top tier, like Psychosis, right? Like it'd be like Psychosis being like, oh, open challenge, and it's like, oh, really? Because Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio, Juventud Guerrero are all on this roster. Seems dumb, but okay. Ultimo Dragon. That's it. It's like being a junior or a light heavyweight champion anywhere in the world in the mid-90s and issuing an open challenge. Basically just asking for Ultimo Dragon to come take your fucking title from you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, probably the worst idea ever. Something else big with like, NXT.
I just really want to go back to this. I don't think like most WWE fans like really understand that Kushida right now is like one of the greatest like light heavyweight, junior heavyweight, cruiserweights like of all time. Like not even gonna say of all time, but certainly of the last two decades. Like I know a lot of you probably don't get that because you're specifically like American wrestling fans, but this guy is like one of the greatest juniors of the last two decades. Like it is foolish of him to issue this challenge.
Yeah, 100%. Some other highlights from NXT. Cross kind of planted his flag as the NXT champion in a solid promo segment. We don't hear from Finn, so we don't know what's going on there. MSK defended their titles against Killian Dane.
Hey, I got a question, because I didn't watch NXT. During Cross's promo, did he, like, refer to Scarlett and the Belt and say, these are both mine, or something to that effect? Or did I misread that statement?
If he did, I didn't pick it up that way, but that doesn't mean that it didn't, you know, kind of fly by me as well, if that makes sense. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch it because you got me wondering. MSK defended their titles against Dane and Maverick, who won. People were noting that people were actually booing MSK. Is this a case of the IWC turning on someone because they're getting pushed too fast? Or is this a case of Dane and Maverick are pretty over as a team and faces? I don't know. We'll see as this goes. I enjoy MSK. They don't use a lot of ring psychology, which I know some people don't like. I also am critical of that. However, they are entertaining. They're like, you know, the Young Bucks.
Yeah, they're definitely the Young Bucks. They're like maybe
we'll see how that
the like the first like real like big team that was clearly like a fan of the Young Bucks. I'm saying like too much today.
Right. And we get a cool moment with Raquel Gonzalez coming out to stake her claim as the new NXT Women's Champion. And she is eventually joined in the ring by new Raw Women's Champion Rhea Ripley and new SmackDown Women's Champion Bianca Belair. There's been a picture of the three of them floating around the internet in the back before a match, and now they all have titles. I also immediately tweeted this out with the PC doesn't dote stars and it's a failure tweet. Because, you know, all three of these women are PC creations. But, you know, Taya Conti had a serviceable match once on AEW Dynamite.
A so serviceable a failure, match.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still building with Isaiah, Swerve Scott, and Leon Ruff. So that was on there. What else was the big takeaway? Fantastic main event segment with Fire Pit teaming with Dexter Lumis and Bronson Reed against The Way in an intergender eight-person tag. And eventually we got Indy Hartwell getting carried away by Dexter Lumis, which is super fun. And a throwback to AJ Lee being carried away to Kane, or by Kane. Solid segment, solid night for NXT. Not quite the review we usually do. I know you didn't get a chance to catch up on Dynamite, as I did not either. So we'll leave that segment there. let's hear from our sponsor and then come back and wrap up, Mike, with some news.
Yeah, it's pretty dope we have a sponsor finally. I don't have to do fake commercials for beef jerky and whatever else.
I don't know, man. The massive amount of things
I did fake commercials for on here.
I think we bring that back as well. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Drive-By is for mature audiences only. Not just because of all the foul language and dick jokes, but because the mics on mics are old as fuck. This is Drive-By.
Alright, so here comes the unfortunate part that we have to talk about and maybe be a little real with you people. We came to April 15th yesterday. Well, it would have been 2 days ago as of your hearing this. And
Black Thursday.
Black Thursday. Black April 15th. Black Wednesday last year. Black Thursday this year. We get the cuts. Now, here's the first thing I want to say, put this out there and be real, real clear about. I hate to see anybody lose their job. I know that I'm speaking for Mike when he agrees. I don't even have to ask. That being said, can we please stop pretending like this is new every year when it happens? Because it's been happening for what? On a regular basis at this time of year, like the last 10 years? Am I right in saying that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly, and to go back to what you said, we hate to see people lose their jobs, right? But, right. God, and this is going to sound terrible when I first say it, but you have to let me, continue to explain, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to this every year, it sounds horrible, let me explain, in the same way that I look forward to, the end of college and NFL seasons and see which coaches get fired, what teams start making moves. Like, this is just part of their sporting year-wise cycle. If you look at WrestleMania as, the end of the season and the start of a new year,
yep.
Makes sense that this yep. is when they start doing their cuts. And I look forward to 100%. This in the same way that as a sporting fan, I look forward to seeing who my team's cutting. I don't want anyone to lose their job, but I like to see what moves are being made.
Right.
And this is the sporting fan in me, that's a fan of seasons and cycles in athletics. I do look forward to this, seeing what cuts are being made, what changes are happening. Right along with, we're probably going to get a roster shakeup in the next month. It's part of that, yep. cycle. I look forward to this part of it, man. This is, this is the off season almost.
I also want to put this out there, and this is going to sound bad in some ways, but it's also the truth. I find it funny and ironic that we always get, man, this person needs to ask for their release. They need to go somewhere else. WWE is evil for not giving them the release. And then when WWE willingly releases people on their at their own discretion, they're the worst company ever, right?
Yes, man, it's wild.
Don't get me wrong. No one wants to be shocked that they're losing their job. But we're out of this. I don't want to say out. We're definitely not out of the pandemic. But things are starting to change. Businesses are opening. Indies are starting up again. And there's tons of places for these people to work. It's the end of a chapter for some of these people. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of these people return. Let's go over the names that we have as of this recording, because I don't think it's over. I know almost for a fact it's not over, and we'll touch on that here shortly. Mojo Riley, The Iconics, both Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, Bo Dallas, Kalisto, however you want to pronounce it, Wesley Blake, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, and the big one for me, Samoa Joe.
It's the big one for everyone, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's a shock, and we'll touch on him maybe last. I do know this, that Tucker can't wait to tell his story and how much he was screwed over. I can't wait to not give a shit.
I can't wait to hear about an average wrestler with average mic skills tell us about how he was mistreated and underused.
Like, Heavy Machinery was never a thing for me. I never felt that they were over. I know that you can't stand Otis, but let's be fair, of the two, he's the star, right?
Like, I mean, like, this would be, like, okay, so we've already talked about King Mabel. Let's go with King Mabel's tag team partner, Mo, right? This would be, like, after they split up Men on a Mission and tried to make Mabel, like, a fucking devastating, like, singles wrestler. Mo being all, oh, I can't wait to tell my side of the story. Like, come on, man. Come on. You have zero fucking charisma. You don't have a good fucking look. You were coasting on a guy that, like, might fuck tractors. I don't know. It's just like you were completely average in every way, shape, and form. An utterly forgettable character and performer. And like, you're just over here. Can't wait to talk. Put me on your podcast. I'd love to put him on this podcast, bro. And just say that to him. He'd just be like, okay, so please tell me exactly where along the line you got fucked over, my man. Because it seems to me like you were just stealing money from this fucking company for the last 2.5 years.
I can't put it any better than the way you just put it. Now, let's see. Let's pull some more names. Bo Dallas hasn't been seen since, I think, 2019 on television. I'm shocked just because I feel like there were legs with him and Bray if they wanted to do something. Clearly, they didn't. I know. Again, feel bad for the guy. I think there's potential there, but I get it.
Okay, Kalisto, Bo Dallas. Here's why I hate the like Bray Wyatt. Anytime anybody's like, oh, he's gonna do something with Bray. Like, right, we all know they're brothers, right?
Right.
Okay. But like, Kane and Undertaker are more brothers than they are, if that makes sense,
in
right?
Our kayfabe world,
there's
100%.
No kayfabe connection between these two at all. We've done nothing. We've laid no groundwork. So where do we have Bo Dallas just come out and be like, Bray Wyatt's my brother, and I'm here to like talk to the Fiend? Like, no, it would be like a complete assault to the character of the Fiend to just do that. And if you don't do that, you just have Bo Dallas be with him, then now we're watching it going, well, he's only there on this because they're brothers in real life. So there's no actual way to tie them together without it damaging the Fiend character or just coming off as awkward. So, like, I don't give a fuck. And here's the other thing. There's a real disconnect between Bo Dallas and the fans. He doesn't hit, right? He's not, as a babyface, no one takes to him. As a heel, he's doing The Miz, right? But it's like, The Miz, you're like, oh, I can't wait to see this dude get his ass kicked. But Bo Dallas, you're like, I hope this dude gets his ass kicked, but like later on tonight at a bar somewhere, and I don't ever have to see him. He's off-putting in a Jeff Jarrett-esque way, where you're like, hey man, we don't love to hate this guy. We just like he's off-putting in a, who was the guy that was the champion that ruined SmackDown for like 9 months? The Middle Eastern General. Yes. He's like off-putting in a Jinder Mahal type of way. And I say this as someone who's like not a Bo Dallas hater, not a fan. I don't think anyone's a fan. I think it's more like levels of indifference. with Bo Dallas, right. And that's why Bo Dallas got released.
Yep, I agree. Kalisto, I don't really have anything to say here. I don't know why it didn't work out. I think when he was being used, he was being used appropriately, and I don't know if it's an attitude thing. I don't know if they didn't see him. I have no idea, Mike. No idea. But I also don't think he's... we'll save that. We'll save what I was going to say for later. You have any thoughts on Kalisto?
Kalisto was the most surprising one to me because he just seemed like one of those like dudes who's a decent hand that they just keep around forever, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wesley Blake... formerly of Blake and Murphy. I feel like this guy, I think Blake and Murphy were a fantastic tag team. I would not have hated to see that reunited since we don't really seem to do much with Murphy either. Though I think Murphy has the clearer upside of the two. So would we have been taking a step back with him? I don't know. I'm not shocked by this with Cutler being released. That was his partner in Forgotten Sons. I'm with the fans on the we have Jackson Riker still, but we released Cutler and now Blake. Kind of seems weird.
Forgotten but, Sons, I mean, let's man. Be real.
Riker could they, looks like a Vince guy, doesn't he?
Could they have come up with a better name for that in hindsight? Like, holy shit. They are some Forgotten Sons, indeed.
Mickey James.
This is just my thoughts on Mickey James getting released. I feel they were like, Mickey, in the real world, you are not old by any means. In wrestling, you're like 112 years old. We would like you to could help out maybe and go to the performance center and become a trainer. And she was like, no, I'm Mickey James. I want to wrestle. And they're like, okay, well, you're going to have to go do that somewhere else.
Yeah, we'll circle back to that when we get to another name on this list. Okay, let's see. Chelsea Green. I feel, for me, this is the biggest misstep on this entire list. Because I think Chelsea got the I'm labeled with I get hurt all the time label. And that's why she's gone. She's never really gotten to get a start in this company at all. Because she's just, every time they try to do something with her, she got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when it came that time, we're like, you look, we've never been able to do anything with her. Let's cut our losses. I think it's a shame. I think of everyone on this list, surprisingly to some people, I feel like she has the biggest chance to do something outside the company. What are your thoughts there?
She's almost, I agree with you on like the injury thing. She's almost like the female Lars Sullivan, except like for all the like bigotry and homophobia, yet also homosexuality at the same time.
Weird how those sometimes go hand in hand, huh?
Man, it's crazy. It's like, but that makes sense because like I make fun of trannies all the time, but I secretly jerk off to trans porn like constantly.
Wow.
So. Yeah,
there you go.
That's a fucking lie. I don't make fun of trannies constantly. I'm cool, cool with whatever gender anyone wants to be. I just said that for the joke. Sometimes you gotta say things that aren't true for the joke, man. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta sacrifice truth for comedy sometimes. Hey, remind me sometime to tell you on air here the hilarious story. I got like, this is gonna sound terrible, but I got like a hilarious comedy bit, people, about the time my family let me get sexually assaulted by an older girl for 2 years. And it sounds awful, right?
I mean, what could be funnier?
But it's really not. It's really not awful. It's like terribly hilarious. Everybody that's heard it is like, oh my god, that's a stand-up comedy bit. And it is. And one day I will tell that story on air here and let you guys like hear it because it is maybe the funniest story that I have to possibly tell.
I cannot wait. I don't know if I said this guy because
by older girl, I mean she was just like a year or two older. Okay, it's not like I was like 12 and getting sexually assaulted by like some like older person. I was like 12, and it was a girl who was like 13, 14, but had like, you know how girls like hit that growth spurt before boys?
Yep.
And also, as you know already, I'm very tiny. So it was like, it wasn't like, it was a girl like roughly my own age who just happened to be stronger than me. Wasn't like an adult was like, wasn't like an adult was doing things to me, man. It was just like a girl I knew that, essentially overpowered me. but my family like knew. So, and they were just like, all right, it's good. It was the 90s, people. It was a different time. Back then, it was like, ah, it's good for him. She's making him a man, huh? That's what they did. Meanwhile, you're 12, and you're like, terrified of this fucking girl. And she's like, very experienced, year or two older than you, you know what I mean? She's one of those girls that, like, lost her virginity at 12 or some shit like that, and was like, way too aggressive and shit, you know? I was scared of girls like that. Oh, man. And she'd come at me. She'd be like, tonight, when the parents get drunk and they're playing cards, I'm gonna take that shit. And you'd be like, no! No! No, I'm too young for this. I need an adult. And the adults all knew. They'd be like, Brandy's coming over tonight. Brandy's gonna be here tonight. And you'd be like, oh, why is everyone making a joke out of this? No! Oh, God, help me. Help me. Oh, fuck. And no one helped me. No one helped me. They just leave me in the basement with this bitch. And she would just like, she'd come for me, Mike. She'd come for me. And I had to fight my way off. I brought this up one time as an adult. My grandma was like, you know, I remember seeing you like fight her off at the beach one time. And I thought you guys were just like playing around or something. And I was like, Grandma, she's trying to rape me in Lake Erie. Y'all just sat there and let it happen. Oh my God. But then later I turned 15 and I was like, this bitch about to fucking get the business this summer. She thinks she gonna play this fucking game? I'm 15. Bitch about to get this business this summer. And I never saw her again.
Oh, what a tragic ending, Mike.
I know, right? Because I was about to fucking like, really, like, she was about to, like, there's 2 years of, like, sexual assault and fear, like, inside me. that finally were like, oh, dog, no, we're mature enough and emotionally prepared now. This bitch is getting the business. And, yep, never saw her again. Actually, I did see her, and I tried to give her the business, and her dad got hammered and caused a big scene. And her family were, like, friends of my family. And her dad got hammered and caused the scene, and they had to leave, and I never saw him again. Yeah. Yep. And that's the story of the time I got sexually assaulted by an older girl for 2 years.
I'm going to leave the awkward silence here for purposes. I don't know if... I don't know if I put this guy, I don't know if I said this at the beginning because he's not on my list. Mojo Rawley, I got nothing, man.
Well, here's the thing, man. Rob Gronkowski's playing football again. So do we really need our Gronk in? Like he was part of the company for a while. I think we've already got connections with Gronk. We don't need Mojo there to keep that solid.
Yeah, yeah. And let's finish with these three individuals. The Iconics. I don't know why we split them up.
They will be part of the Pinnacle in 90 days.
Probably. I enjoyed Billy on her own. I enjoyed everything she was doing on SmackDown with the resume. I like these two as a team, and I want to be very careful on how I say this. I think they were a great team. I feel like splitting them up kind of told you what you needed to know about how we were viewing the tag titles for the women on the main roster. That being said, they were an awesome team. They were good characters. Neither one of them were lighting it up in the ring. Would you agree?
I think they were probably two of the worst workers on their female roster.
And I know Billy was just with Carmella in this tag team turmoil match. It was a terrible match. And part of the reason I love her, but Billy's just not good to ring. She's not. And I think Peyton has improved. I still don't think, I don't think the roster's worse without these two. Is that fair?
Yeah, because they are, and here, they're entertaining as fuck together.
Right.
The Iconics, they are hilarious. They are very entertaining. But if you're not going to use them, and they also are a good, if you just need some shitty heels that aren't really, like, good wrestlers that can just get their asses kicked by Sasha and Bayley, just throwing that out there, you know?
Like, right.
They're a great fucking team for it, man. They're, like, the best team for it because they're shitty and they make you want to see them get beat up. And now, as individual, like, as a whole, so WWE roster, no, they're not a loss at all. In-ring wise, they would be absolutely no boost for the AEW roster, but they would add an element of entertainment that the women's roster at AEW is desperately in need of.
Yep, I agree. And then finally, Samoa Joe. I am trying to get confirmed, but as soon as I saw this, I was shocked. But the more I thought about it, my opinion, and this is, like I said, not confirmed from my source, but also thought of and also being batted around, they wanted him to stay on commentary. They didn't want him to wrestle. He wants to wrestle. He still thinks he has it. I get it. I think there's also a little bit of concern with his past injuries with him, and that's why they wanted him where they wanted him, and he didn't want to be in that position for the rest of his career. So I get it. I don't think there's hard feelings. I think Joe thinks he can go, and I think WWE wanted him as a commentator. And that's where we, you know, go our separate ways.
Everybody seems really, really fucking heartbroken by this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joe's got so much left. Oh, Joe. Look, man, I love Joe. Joe's a great fucking wrestler. But his prime was a decade ago. He hasn't wrestled in, like, 2 years almost. Over a year,
seems
at least.
Like it.
It's over a year. And that's great. That's great that Joe still wants to have some more matches. Awesome, right on. I'm not even saying he can't, but I'm just saying this isn't like a loss to the WWE roster. They are stacked. They've got lots of people to pull from everywhere, and it's just not a real loss to have a dude that's in his 40s that's had a major history of injuries over his time in your company to, like, not be with you anymore. It's almost absurd to think it's a loss.
Yeah, man, I look at this list, and I think when it comes down to it, I said this last year, and I'll say it again this year, I don't see one person on here that I go, they're a game changer for whoever picks them up.
Nope.
And when I say game changer, I mean we're taking business to the next level, and WWE is going to be number two because of it.
Yeah.
I also stand firm in my statements.
There's no one that's going to bring eyes, more like... Like, none of these names is like, no one's going to start watching AEW because Samoa Joe's on it now.
Right. And I also...
These aren't even game changers. Shit, man. These aren't even fucking needle movers.
Right. And I mean, there hasn't been one person that has either asked for their release or has been given a release in the last 2 years that has become something more than they were already in WWE. I mean, Mox ran his contract out. We can't put him in the category. But when you go up and down the list from Miro to now Samoa Joe, I don't think there's anything that's going to change for these people. And the point I'm trying to make is I feel like Vince has a pretty good grip. People say he's out of touch. I think a lot of times we see eventually why these people were where they were on the card, right?
Yeah.
I mean, could we be proven wrong? Absolutely. It just hasn't happened yet, and I don't expect it's going to happen anytime soon.
No, I don't either.
And it sucks. It's not a conversation that's fun to have. Again, we hate to see anyone lose their job. I do think that all these people will be fine, and I think they'll make a living doing what they love somewhere else, and they'll... Is there a possibility? Like, I could totally see a Peyton Royce, you know, or a Chelsea Green. I'll throw those two women's names out. Increasing their value elsewhere and then eventually coming back. I could totally see it. Totally. You know, you get Chelsea a good run somewhere uninjured for a long, long time and making something else of herself. I could see her coming back. I don't think the doors are shut on any of these people, but I think it makes sense. It's a business. You have to keep. I know they signed all these deals and people keep bringing that up. You know, they got $1 billion from Peacock. It doesn't matter. They're a publicly traded company. They have to show profits. They have to keep showing profits. And there comes a time, especially with some of these names on this list, where you haven't even been on TV in 2 years. It's time to cut your losses, man. And that's what they did. And some are shocking. Some are sad. All I think will be fine. And I think as a wrestling fan, we need to realize this day is going to come after Mania every year.
Every
it just is.
Year.
I'm being told that there's going to be more probably after this recording. Some from NXT, some office guys, and some Performance Center. I'm guessing coaches, trainers. We'll see what happens. I hope they all land on their feet. I think they will. I think that kind of sums up everything that I have to say today. What about you, Mike?
If Ben and Jerry's made an ice cream after you, what would be in it?
My personal flavors, it would have to be some chocolate base with peanut butter, soft pretzel, and waffle cone.
Fuck, man. Got a lot going on, dude. Nice. I said I'm going to start with a vanilla ice cream base, and then we're going to add a salted caramel and cashews. Cashews. You don't fucking find cashews in ice cream very often, man. It's the money nut. Cashews.
That's a solid choice.
Cashews.
I also think we should get trending hashtag money nut.
Well, it's the money nut, man. It really is. I'm going to call it Eat My Salty Vanilla Nuts. Or just maybe Eat My Nuts for like brevity's sake. That's what I've been thinking about today. So, big day for me.
Leave you with that, guys. I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We'll catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a great week.
New episodes of Drive-By are available every Saturday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and everywhere podcasts are found. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/drivebypod. And follow us on Twitter at drivebypod. This has been a presentation of the Nearfall Network. Until next time, bye.
Yeah, I am going to, I've got to do some things. I've got to return some video tapes.